Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the Denver Kehillah probing the Parsha. This week is Parsha, a double Parsha, Parshat Vayakhel Pekudei. Today is March 15th. Double Parsha, Vayakhel Pekudei. And we're going to focus on Bezalel. I mentioned Bezalel in Shul last Shabbos. He was not the architect, but the craftsperson of the Mishkan. He was charged with fashioning the various kelim that were in the Mishkan. And today we're going to we'll just look at the psukim first, and we'll look at a really interesting Gemara about Bezalel, and then a commentary of the Meshech Chachma about maybe 2 points from the Meshech Chachma about Bezalel, about how he viewed the Mishkan from, and I think what we're going to try to take away from today's class is the relevance for us today in the Mishkan, right? The Mishkan. It's hard enough to find relevance, I guess, I think, in the Beit HaMikdash, but the Mishkan may be even be harder because it was temporary and then of course not used, and seems like it was only for the generation of the Midbar and the early Bnei Israel when they first settled in Eretz Israel. Is there anything that we could take away from the Mishkan? That's what we're going to try to do today. That's our goal. So we'll see at the end if we reach our goal. So the psukim that we're going to focus on, you guys see this on your screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So the psukim that we're going to focus on are Shemot Lamed Hey, Lamed through Lamed Gimel, 35, 30 through 33. Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael ru'u kira Hashem b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'matei Yehuda. Moshe told Bnei Yisrael, look, God has singled out Bezalel. He's the guy. He's the one who's going to be the craftsperson. And God has endowed him with all sorts of great qualities, ability, knowledge, every kind of craft. He's very talented, God-given talents. To make things out of gold and silver and copper, so he was also a master metal smith, I guess is that the term. Uvecharoshet aven lemalot uvecharoshet eitz. Also, he was expert in cutting stone and carving wood. Everything possible. This guy was just incredibly blessed and incredibly talented in terms of that. So. That's what we hear about that's what we hear about Bezalel. Whenever I read these psukim, I always think of, and now we just went through it again. We went through it once in our life when we lived in Houston. I always think of the contractors and the subcontractors who do work in the house. I'm like, I maybe I could hang up a picture like straight on the wall. And every time I see these craftspeople, and we saw it a lot going through the renovation of this house. It's just like I'm astonished, and I think like what's like what skill do I don't have a physical skill, something that I could do. I guess I could put books on a bookshelf, but only once the bookshelf is built. So whenever I read these psukim about Bezalel, you know, metal and wood and everything imaginable. So I'm always very impressed. Now the Gemara. So I think just it's I think it's always important to note that, like, we in our community we have different types of skills, different types of things that we do. Most of us, you know, are sitting down for most of our jobs, and we have certain types of jobs. There's a whole, you know, whole other community that excel, you know, in other things, and it's just really. It's worth recognizing. Okay. Then we have this really neat Gemara that records a conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bezalel. And it's sort of a little bit of an argument as to what's going to be built first when it comes to the Mishkan. Was the outside, the sort of the frame, that what we call the house built first, or were the kelim built first? Were the items that were going to be inside the Mishkan going to be built first? So the Gemara says as follows: Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Bezalel al shem chachmato nikra. Bezalel, his name is based on the account of his wisdom. Now, Bezalel, you may notice, is made up of two words, Sel El, which means the shadow of God. Okay, Bezalel is the shadow of God. And so the Gemara is saying here that there's something about this name. It's not just a name. The name expresses a particular character of Bezalel, and it's based on this story. So I guess we have to assume that Bezalel's mother had some sort of Ruach HaKodesh or some sort of divine assistance in giving him this name. And the Gemara says, "B'sha'ash amar lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe lech emor lo leBezalel aseli mishkan aron v'kelim." When God told Moshe, "Go to Bezalel and tell him to make the mishkan as well as the ark and the vessels," right? The mishkan, the ark, and the vessels. So that's a specific order, right? Make the house first, and then the ark, and then the vessels. That's what God told Moshe to do. Halach Moshe v'hafach. We're not going to focus on that, but this is interesting too. Moshe went and he reversed the order. V'amar asei aron v'chelim u'mishkan. He told Bezalel, "Look, I want you to make the kelim first, like the aron and the other kelim, and then I want you to build a house." So we're not going to get into why Moshe switched it, but he did. Amar lo. So then Bezalel said to him, "Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, minago shel olam adam bonet bayit, v'akarchach machnis l'tocho kelim." The normal way of doing things is that a person first builds a house, and then they put the kelim in, right? Then, only then do they put the vessels in. V'ata omer, and you're telling me, aseli aron v'chelim mishkan, you're telling me to do the ark and the vessels and then the mishkan? That doesn't make any sense. Kelim Shani Oseh, after all, Bezalel says, these vessels that I'm going to make, Lehechan Achnisam, where am I going to put them? Well, I guess they didn't have one of those rat packs or one of those things you put in your driveway when you're doing renovations to put your stuff in. Where am I going to put this stuff once I build it? So then Moshe says, Shema Kach Amar L'cha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe, he says, is it possible? So this is still Bezalel. Is it possible that that God said to you, perhaps God said the following: first you should make the Mishkan, and then the various kelim. He sort of intuited what God had originally told Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar lo, Shema Bezalel el hayita v'yadata. And then Moshe is sort of astounded, and he says, perhaps you were in God's shadow. That's the name, right? Bezalel. You were in God's shadow, and you knew exactly what he said to do. So Moshe is very impressed here with Bezalel. And Bezalel actually figured out intuitively, this is part of his chachma, part of his wisdom, what God had wanted to begin with. So that's the Gemara. And I want to now turn our attention. So again, we could spend some time unpacking this question of why or how is it that Moshe reversed what God wanted, but we'll save that for another time. What I want to do now is look at a commentary of the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma says something very interesting about the Kalim, about this whole question about the order of the Mishkan. So the Mishkan, so let me just stop here and pause for a second. Anyone have any comments or questions? Anything you want to add? Anything they've heard about this that they want to share? Okay. Okay, so here we go. Here's the Mishnah Chacham. Ubigamara Perak Haro'eh Bitzel El Hayiti. We're right over here. Sorry, let me just highlight where we are so people have lost track. Right, we're right there where the purple highlight is. Okay, so the Gemara says as follows: Biur Ha'inyankach. So what's the meaning of this Gemara? Right, the Mesha Chachma wants to understand this Gemara. There must be more to it than a story of Bezalel just deciding to change the order. Bior Hanyan Kach, Depratiut Shel Yisrael Kadosh. This is really important. Every individual Jewish person is holy. Every individual Jewish person is unique. Every individual person, human being, Jews included, are created Bezalel Elokim. We have a unique thing about us, and we also have holiness. So it's interesting, right? Judaism doesn't totally erase the importance of individuality. Religion, generally speaking, is a group exercise, and a lot of what we do in our community and in religion is we set aside a little bit our own personal desires sometimes, or personal needs for the good of the family, for the good of the community. That's certainly an element of Judaism. It's an element of religions in general. And, it's an element of building a society, right? In a society, we have to share the space we're in. And that sometimes means, I may want to speed on the street, but I can't because it's dangerous. Right? I may want to do whatever it is, but I can't because it's not safe for other people. However, but it's important to know, but nonetheless, the Pratiyut Shel Yisrael Kadosh, right? Every individual or the individual element of the Jewish people is important and holy. Aval Sharei Kedushot, Kedushot Yoter. Other holiness is even more holy. Aval Klal Yisrael Ein Domelahen. However, the Jewish people as a whole, nothing could be compared to them. And here the Mesha Chachma shares this idea that the whole world was created for the Jewish people. It's hard to understand exactly what that means, right? But the whole world was created for the Jewish people. V'lachein ha-mishkan hu Yisrael. So now he's going to get into the Mishkan. The Mishkan is not representative of an individual. The Mishkan represents the Jewish people. It's actually a nice, I think, connection here to congregational, to shul life. Right? The Mishkan represents the Jewish people. Shebechibor ha-kirashim v'ha-kirasim v'ha-yirayot naseh ha-olal echad. The outside of the Mishkan was made up of boards and curtains, and they were all connected to each other, right, to create one ohel, to create one unit, one tent. Just like the Jewish people, right, are supposed to be connected and represent one whole. Ulekach bepratiyuta asiya betruma nizkar kelim. So now he's going to try to understand the order of the way the Mishkan is presented in the various parsha, because as you may have been aware, right, the building of the Mishkan is talked over, is explained through a number of parshiot, and sometimes it's the kelim first, and sometimes it's the building first, sometimes it's the utensils first, sometimes it's the building first. So he says when it comes to parsha Teruma, nizkar kelim first, the individual utensils are mentioned, the achar kach mishkan, and only after that is the building mentioned. She ha'aron mikudash yoter mipratiut miyisrael. The aron is holier than an individual person. Right? It's got this holiness. Aval bichlalut b'parshat ki tisa. However, when we're talking about Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, which is in parshat ki tisa, kitiv mishkan kodem. So what the Meshach Chachma is trying to do is trying to explain why in Truma we talk about the Kalim first, and why in Kitisa we talk about the Mishkan first. So in Truma, it's talking about the Mishkan as representative or symbolizing the individual Jew. So that's why the Kalim come first. But when it comes to Kitisa, we're talking about the Klal, the community, the Jewish people, and therefore the Mishkan is told first. Sheze ikar hakavana sheha Mishkan sheklal b'nei Yisrael ba'im b'tocho. This is the purpose that the Mishkan has of when all the Jewish people come together in it, mikudash yoter, mimakom hamiyuad l'shchinato yitbarach. It's even holier than a specific place, right? It's interesting. The Aron Kodesh is the place where God's presence supposedly rested in the Mishkan. And the Meshach Chachma is saying, that's true, but the actual building itself, because it symbolizes and represents all of the Jewish people, that's even holier. Mikudash yoter, mimakom hamiyuad l'shchinato yitbarach, sheklalut eida kidosha ein la shiur. This is amazing, right? When the Jews are together, when they are a connected eida, there's no limit to their holiness. Ein la shiur. There's no limit to their holiness. Lakach b'tzalel shehaya yodel tzareif otiyot v'haya baki, and we're going to learn another Gemara in a minute that b'tzalel knew how to join the letters of the in a certain way v'haya baki eich me'atziruf yulad inyan gavoa v'chadash, and he knew how to connect the letters in a way that would create something awesome and new asher eino b'pratim. Rak b'chlal, that does not exist with individuals, but only with the klal. Ukemosha briyaha klalit tov ma'od. Ukemosha katuv vayar et kol asher asa v'nei tov ma'od. Right, when God created the world, right, he said it was tov ma'od. That's the collective. Kain b'Yisrael l'chein hiktim ha'mishkan. Therefore, the Jews as well. That's why Bezalel intuited that first you have to build the Mishkan, meaning. What the Meshach Chachma is doing is saying, the Gemara that we just read, that seems to be a very practical conversation between Moshe and Bezalel. God said Mishkan first. Moshe said Kalim first. And Bezalel said, where am I supposed to put this stuff? Let me build the building first, and then I'll put the stuff there. So that sounds like a very practical conversation. The Meshach Chachma says, no, it wasn't Bezalel just being practical. It was Bezalel saying, we have to build the Mishkan first, because the Mishkan represents Am Yisrael as a klal, as a group, that's the greatest holiness, and that's what we have to start with, right? So it's interesting that at the beginning, the Meshach Chachma talks about individual Jew as being holy. That's true. However, it does not compare. That holiness can't compare to the holiness of Am Yisrael, which the Meshach Chachma says, Ein la shiur, right? Has no limit. There's no limit to the sanctity that the group can attain. Okay. By the way, there's a corollary to this in tefillah b'tzibur, right? Not necessarily a minyan, but davening as a group, right? Anyone have a sense of what's the connection, but let's say between what the Meshach Chachma is saying and the idea of davening with a group?
I mean, I thought I've heard, you know, a minyan has holiness to it and a group and, but you're saying even less than that, just even davening with a group, period. Is
minyan for sure, a group, yeah. And the reason that I've seen is actually in the Kuzari, where he makes this really interesting point about why we daven with a group. And what he says is that when you daven with a group, there's a chance that at one point of the davening, my kavanah is not going to be good, and someone else is not going to be good, but someone else is going to have the right kavanah. And so by the time you put the whole group together, there's a very good chance that there was proper kavanah for every part of the davening, mm-hmm. even if individuals did not have kavanah for every part of the davening. Mm-hmm. But when I was missing my kavanah, you had your kavanah. Mm-hmm. And when you didn't have your kavanah, I had the kavanah. And so a group is able to sort of present a more complete tefillah to God than an individual is. Because if I'm davening alone and I don't have kavanah for one particular bracha, well, that's it. Mm-hmm. That tefillah is then, I guess, damaged goods. But if I'm davening with a group, then we have the opportunity to really help each other. Mm-hmm. That's what tefillah b'tzibur. That's tefillah b'tzibur. So I'm not sure if that only applies to a minyan. It seems like it would apply to any group of people mm-hmm. who are davening in a group. Mm-hmm. So this notion at the end of Bitzalel knowing how to connect the letters, this is the Gemara that the Meshech Chachma is talking about. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Yodea Haya Bitzalel Tzaref Otiyot Shenivru'u Behen Shamayim Ba'aretz. Not only was Bitzalel a great craftsperson, he also knew how to join the letters from which heaven and earth were created. And I'm not sure what he did with that, but according to the Meshech Chachma, he had this ability to litzareif. That's the point that he's trying to make. Litzareif means to combine. So Bitzal understood the importance of combining, right? The importance of the klal, of the group. Ketiv hacha vayimale oto ruach Elohim b'chachma uvitfuna uvidat. The pasuk says, "And I have filled him with spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge." Uketiv hatam Hashem b'chachma yasad eretz konein shamayim b'tfuna. And there's another pasuk that says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth; by understanding he established the heavens." And it is written also, "B'dato tehomot nivka'u." By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the skies dropped down. So the world was created with Chachma, right? That's what the Pasuk said, the Psukim say. And Bitzalel had Chachma, as the Pasuk says, Vayimaleo to Ruach Elokim b'Chachma. So Bitzalel had wisdom, the world was created with wisdom. It's a sort of a classic, what we call in the Gemara, Gezerat Shaveh, when there's words that are the same or similar, the assumption is that the character is similar between the two events or between the two ideas. And so here the idea is Bitzalel and creation, and since God was the creator of the world, and that's talked about being done with Chachma, Bitzalel had Chachma, and so he had really, it's quite an astonishing and bold Gemara. He sort of had this godlike ability of creation. It's another interesting point in the sense that I think one could argue that one of the ways that we see that the human being is created, but Selam Elokim, is through our creativity, because ultimately God is the greatest creator. God's the only one who could create something from nothing. But then came along the human being, and we created everything from almost nothing. Right? And that's godlike. Right? That's a very godlike quality. Rabbi Soloveitchik talks about this a lot, that we are supposed, and this goes back to Bitzalel being a creator and seeing people working on homes and projects like that, right? They have this creative ability. On one level, that creative ability to, you know, to build and to create, whether it's art or a building or anything else, that is a high level illustration of Tzelem Elokim, being created in the image of God, because God is the creator. And so here we have this Meshech Chachma telling us that that's what Bitzalel was showing everyone. Bitzalel was showing everyone that he's really tapped into what it means to be a creator and a builder, and tapped into this notion of tziruf, of connecting as a source of wholeness. So when we go back to the Pesukim, we talk about Betzalel's Chachma. So that's his Chachma, the Chachma of creativity, and to use that creativity to understand that real Kedusha comes from the group. So that's sort of the first point I wanted to make. I wanted to just share one other brief idea, because it's sort of related to this. I'll say it very quickly. Maybe I'll just say it outside instead of inside. The Ramban, right? The Ramban, Nachmanides, has a really interesting explanation as to what the Mishkan was for. The Mishkan, says the Ramban, was essentially a portable Har Sinai. So some of the similarities are that the Jewish people were encamped around Har Sinai, and they then continued to be encamped around the Mishkan. Another similarity is we had the burning incense in the Mishkan, which created the cloud, which sort of mimics the cloud cover over Har Sinai. God spoke to Bnei Israel from a specific point from between the Kruvim, those two cherubs, and God spoke from a specific point to Bnei Israel as well. So there are a lot of similarities when it comes to what was going on at Har Sinai and the Mishkan. And the Ramban says that the whole point was to accompany Bnei Israel from the Midbar to Eretz Israel with this constant sense of being accompanied by God, and this constant sense of continuing revelation, between God and the Jewish people. So what's missing, however, is if you look at the Mishkan also had a walls around it. And where is the parallel to that at Har Sinai? Right, where's the parallel to that at Har Sinai? And so here the Meshech HaChama says something which is so beautiful. I'll just read a few sentences. He says as follows: Hagbalat et ha'am saviv. Right, the people, right, surrounded the Mishkan. Ha'inyan da ha'kavod elokiv ha'nevuah haya ad makom sheYisrael omdim gad ha'har u'kamo shemar panim bepanim dibar Hashem. God's holiness came up until where the people were standing around Har Sinai. Just like when the Beit HaMikdash was built, one could touch the outside wall but couldn't come in. These walls separated between one area of sanctity and everything outside. The Jewish people themselves, he says, were the mechitzot, were the barriers, the walls, the separation between God's holiness, which was on the inside of Har Sinai, so to speak, and everyone else, right, who was on the outside. You weren't allowed to touch the mountain. Shelo kalta makom hakavod min ahar. The sanctity went up until where the people were standing. That's what it means when it says the people served as this boundary. You can't touch them out. And then he goes on to say, if you look at the Mishkan, right, the Mishkan had all of these pillars standing up around it, which could also then be representative. If we go back to our original question, how does the Mishkan mimic Har Sinai? Well, if the people were the boundary around Har Sinai, then each of those beams that served as the outer walls of the Mishkan represent individual Jews. But you have to remember that each of those beams were connected to each other, right? And so we come back to the idea of klal, right? We're not standing around Har Sinai as individuals. we're not being represented by individual beams around the Mishkan. We're actually connected. Each beam, each individual Jew is connected. And therefore, only when we're connected are we able to provide a proper sort of barrier, which either, when we look at that barrier, one of two ways, keeps the non-holiness out from where the holiness is, but also keeps the holiness in, right? And I think that's really a neat way to look at it, right? When Klal Yisrael is working together, right, then we manage to sort of keep our holiness. When we're not working together, then it could sort of leak out, right? If those beams were not, tightly connected, then the kedusha could sort of steep out, and we would lose it. So I think this is an extension of what the Meshech Chachma said earlier, that the Bitzalel's genius was his recognition that what was most important was the one Mishkan. But now we see that one Mishkan is really made up of all the individual Jews, and if we sort of stick together, then there's a much better chance of us maintaining and sort of protecting our kedusha, maintaining and protecting our holiness. So that's a little bit of an insight into Bezalel and into his wisdom and into really why God chose him, because he wasn't only practical about where am I supposed to put the stuff. He understood that B'nai Yisrael does much better, like the analogy to tefillah, right? We do much better when we work together with each other than we do when we work as individuals. So, thank you, everybody. Yisr koach. Any comments or questions?
Bezalel had an innate talent, or he was imbued with it? Like, was he talented and then he got extra stuff given to him? Like, yeah.
That's a good question. So then let's look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayimaleo to Ruach Elokim, that God filled him with it. So I'm not sure. Let's go back and look at some of the commentaries on the Pasukim to see if they talk about this word Vayimale as being, let's see. Ah, see, interesting. See what the Ibn Ezra says? That God bore witness that Bezalel was saturated with wisdom, meaning he had it. That's fascinating.
God bore witness. So he witnessed that he had this. He's saying, I see that he has this.
Yeah, I see that he has this. Hinei Hashem he'id kihu. He was just saying, listen, this is your guy. It's interesting because the Pasuk sounds like God is saying, I'm going to give this to him. Or Moshe is saying that God gave this to him. But really, what the Ibn Ezra says is that, no, he was simply declaring that he's the guy. That's really interesting.
Yeah, wow.
See if anyone else weighs in on this, at least on Safaria. Datsukanim doesn't say where I'm from. Interesting, similar language that Datsukanim points out about Shlomo when he built the Beit HaMikdash. So similar language was used about his wisdom.
Both of them, yeah.
I have to go somewhere else for that. I'm not going to open that up now. Okay, so see the Ibn Ezra, it's really interesting what he says. Here it is. Oh, this is perfect. This is beautiful. The Rush, Vayimaleo Teruach Elokim, building off the Ibn Ezra, or I'm not sure who came first. I think the Rush, Shekvar Haitabo Chachma. He already had the Chachma. Lilamdecha She'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mimale Chachma Ela Lemi Shehayabo Kvar. So the Rush is being very clever. Vayimale, this is a bad translation, he endowed. It means he filled him. meaning he had some and God just topped it off.
Yep, there you go.
Right, so that's really neat. That's really interesting. I like this statement to teach us that God does not give chachma to anyone other than those who already had it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we work on ourselves. We develop a little chachma, and then hopefully we get some extra help. But we have to start off ourselves, right? It's God's not going to. Mm-hmm. I've said this before a few times. I had a Hebrew teacher in high school who used to say, you have to do the tuchus work. You got to sit down and learn. And then if you sit down and learn, then maybe God will do a little vayimaleoto.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't come on its own. Beautiful. Thank you for asking. That's a great question. And not at all what I would expect it. I would have expected it to be God gave it to him. But now, if you read carefully, vayimale, it means he filled it up, but the tank wasn't empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my uncle's version of your rabbi was, he's telling me as a kid, you have to get your ass in gear. That's what he's doing.
Right. Exactly. Right. All right. Okay. Any other comments? Yitzi? Go ahead. Go ahead. Moshe, do you want to say something?
All right. I was going to say the other thing that the Moshe one where he flipped it. I was just thinking of Purim, like a Nafahu type of.
Nafahu, right. Maybe it was Purim Torah. Moshe's Purim Torah. Right. Okay, great. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yitzi, did you want to say something?
Yeah, it looks like in Kikisa, the beginning of chapter 31, where they use the future tense of Bezalel. Bezalel still uses Ba'amale, the word fill, but for his buddy, Ahaliyav, it says Natati.
Oh,
so I don't know.
What pasuk are you in?
This is 31. Gimel is for Bezalel, and then Vav is for Ahaliyav.
Ba'amaleo to Ruach Elokim. Good. That's that tracks with what we just saw. Oh, and here we're going to be able to see. I think the Hamek Davar, the Netziv, who said we should look here. So what does he say? The Kol Olamot, Mishkan. Okay. And Aliyav is where?
Six.
Vani hini natati ito et Aliyav. V'natati chachma. Wow, that's interesting. Let's see if anyone mentions that distinction. You see, Rashi doesn't distinguish. Rashi seems to be saying that Bezalel and Aliyav were given as opposed to what we saw earlier. This is interesting. The Ibn Ezra, it doesn't talk about the Vinatati specifically, but that's a good, thank you for bringing that up. That is really interesting.
Yeah, I would think they should mean different things going off with Ibn Ezra.
Yeah. Huh. I'm not sure what to make of that, but that's, let's do some more research about that. But that's really fascinating. It seems like it should be different.
Okay. Yeah, and I just thought of it a minute ago when I was I don't have any answer.
Okay. And now I'm going to be up late. All right. Yisroch Koach, everyone.
Thank you.
Got work to do. Thank you for joining. Always a pleasure to learn with you.
Yes.
Like and hope to see you soon. Hope to see you in shul. Have a wonderful rest of your week. And thanks again. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, Yisroch.
Good night.